All right. So, for the record, what is your name?
My name is Robert Pipkin.
Okay. In terms of race and ethnicity, how do you identify?
African American.
And then where are you originally from?
A small town near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay. So, when you were at the University of Idaho, what were you doing?
I played basketball. I was a student.
What were you going to school for?
Elementary education. Become a teacher.
Okay. When choosing universities, what made you choose UVI?
I thought it was a good fit. When I visited, the coaches really showed me a lot of respect, and they talked about I would play right away, and which I did. And the atmosphere, everybody was very friendly. Treated me with a lot of respect. Although it was about 2,500 miles away from my home, I made a decision that this is where I would spend my next 2 years, because before that I went to junior college. Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you moved from, I guess, Pittsburgh over here,
I went from Pittsburgh. I was at Dodge City Community College for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then to the University of Idaho.
Okay. So when you moved over here, did you noticing anything different with the climate?
Well, yes. But it was a little different here, where there was only 10 African American students on campus, and there was no African Americans in any positions on campus, and there were no black families in Moscow, Idaho, and so that was a little difficult for me.
Did you notice any, any difficulties when dealing with people either on campus or just within the community?
Well, my first month, I got into a couple of scraps because one of the former football players used the N-word. But a month or two after that, everything was fine. I had 80% of the people treated me fine. After that first couple of months, there were no problems.
Okay. So, what were some of the challenges you faced while you were at the University of Idaho playing basketball?
Basketball was one academically. Because when I was in high school, I didn't do well. I didn't apply myself. I wasn't prepared academically. The reason I had to go to junior college, I didn't do well in high school. I had I was an All-American athlete and a lot of basketball scholarships. But I had to adjust to the rigorous schedule of the academics of being at a university. And, you know, we practiced quite a bit, but I had to get adjusted to, like I said, the environment, and the professors and everybody was pretty good.
And then, were there any black students or any just faculty in general you were able to kind of
There were none.
Well, yeah, black faculty wise, just
no. You know what? And it was difficult. But I had a Dr. Green, who's athletic director. I don't know if he's athletic director at the time, and maybe he was. And Mr. Eric Kirkland, they were very supportive. I had an advisor, Dr. Bent, was very supportive. But people don't understand that if you're an African American and you're in an environment where there's nobody you could reach out to understand your issues that you have, you had to deal with them yourself. Or the 10 of us on campus, we dealt with our own issues. And at that time, people were not, you know, they didn't see it as a major problem, because a majority of students were European American. And I'll give an example. I signed a professional basketball contract at the time with St. Louis Hawks, now it's Atlanta. It was a D-League for them. When I tried out for the NBA, it was only about 20% African-American. And your chances of making it was real difficult. But today in the NBA, it's 86% African-American. And so there was a lot of things that were available. There was only one black coach in the NBA. I didn't know if there was maybe one or two black college coaches. I couldn't become a coach, it was very difficult. I couldn't become a referee. There was no African-American referees, and to my knowledge, there was no African-American athletic directors, no African-American agents. So, you know, you were on your own. I didn't have an agent. So everything I did on my own. I had nobody to give me advice on what I needed to do. And as I got older, I realized how difficult that was. I haven't been back there. I haven't been back in 55 years.
Why aren't we using
yeah.
stairs?
Yeah, so that was, yeah, it was difficult. Go Vandals.
Go Vandals. So you would agree that you felt a little bit supported at the university, at least when it came to athletics?
Yes, I would be, yeah. I was first team all big guy. I led a team in school.
Yes, I have a good one. Yes,
well, thank you. Oh, we gotta go one more floor. Oh.
You going up?
We're going up.
Okay.
Sorry.
There you go.
I led the team in scoring.
Yeah, they're down here.
I led the team in scoring my second year, and I was voted the most valuable player.
Yeah, when you played too, you were playing in the 60s.
Yeah.
You would have been there right before the Black Student Union too.
I didn't get a chance to see that. But coming back, I was an emotional wreck. Seeing how the university has grown and seeing 20 African American employees and when I was on the basketball team, I was only black my last year. My junior year was two of us. The basketball team, I think, is 90% black.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So it was a challenge, but through the grace of God, I got through it, you know, with the support of, and also my coach, Coach Anderson and Coach Goddard. And also I was captain of the basketball team my senior year. So.
Were there any like super good experiences or really positive experiences
you've had? Oh yeah, yeah. You know what? My first college game, we played University of Oregon and UGA, were rated pretty high. We beat them 86-81. I scored 31 points. Another basketball experience. Against Idaho State, one game I had 39 points. One game I had 26 rebounds. But, you know, I met two brothers, John and Joe Walker. I had lunch with them yesterday. One's an attorney, one's in insurance. They were in high school at the time. They were like family to me. They embraced me, and we became inseparable. So yesterday, after not seeing them for 55 years, we had lunch, we hugged, and we kissed. They were younger, but they were my support. They always told me good things, they looked up, and they helped me out in many ways. So the Walker, I hope you mentioned the Walker brothers, they're phenomenal. And John serves, he's on the alumni board for the University of Idaho. Yeah, so that's a good experience.
Yeah. And then, I guess, looking at the opposite side of things, were there any really negative experiences?
Well, I'll tell you about a couple fights I had.
Yeah.
In some instance, I don't know if some of the professors understood what we were going through as African-American. And plus, there was no African-American young ladies. Well, you know, I did date some European American young ladies at the time. But it would be hard for the people to understand. I want you to put yourself in my situation. If it was only You want a camp? It's only 10 whites, 10,000 blacks, no white, no white staff. That was difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
All right. And then moving away from the university, I guess. You were really big, or at least you spent a lot of your career playing basketball.
Yeah. What happened? After I didn't make the NBA or the D-League team, I got drafted into the military. I had orders to Vietnam, I didn't go, and because of playing basketball, I had some help. But I got sent to Germany, and a team that wanted me to play when I was at Idaho, Kelheim Tech, I signed with them. I played over there. I still have the record in that league, 61 points. It was no three-point shot. And I got married in 1968, and so I don't know, I didn't want to bring my wife to Germany. They had offered me a long-term contract. And I said, nah, I decided I got a job in the Pittsburgh Public Schools as an educator teaching. And became a school administrator, was an adjunct college professor. And I've done a lot of volunteer work in the community I volunteered a lot of different organizations. Nothing for it. I was written up in USA Today, New York Times, LA Times for my work in education. I was a trustee at a college, vice president of a foundation. I was very big in civil rights. I was NAACP president with my wife, and I do now. We do financial literacy for African American people because injustice economically. I'll give you a statistic if I can. The net worth of a European American family is $195,000. An African American family is $25,000. The NEDAN organization, which is a research organization, says it's going to take African Americans 225 years to reach parity with white America economically. So, and that's what I've been doing. And I'm up here today because of Dr. Sidney Freeman. I have so much respect for him. And, you know, I'll be talking about Ray McDonald before they lift his jersey into the rafters. And so I've been volunteering and helping all my life. I do some work also with the Goodyear Police Department in Arizona. I'm on the board of directors for the Salvation Army, and I work with a group of young people called Youth World. So I'm still pretty active. I've been married to a beautiful woman for 54 years, have two beautiful children and four grandkids.
So I was going to ask about all your involvement in the community. What drives you, though, for that? Is it just
make a difference in the lives of other people? I was a very rambunctious young man. My parents only had a fifth grade education. I was one of nine. I was the first one to go to college. Not as close to 50 in my family who went to college. My parents couldn't read well at all. I was born in Sardis, Mississippi. My parents picked cotton. They couldn't go to school because they were black. And I think back of, to the grace of God, I was able to go on. I didn't realize how many people were watching me when the first of nine to go to college. And people don't realize the effect of slavery and discrimination. What it did, because we as a people, we helped build America. We built the White House. We had inventions. There was free slave labor. We never got, you know, Native Americans got reparations. And a couple other Native Americans, the Jewish, through the Holocaust. So those are some of the, and people don't never understand with me being out here in Idaho is a, It was a difficult time. People don't realize that.
No, I completely agree. Do you have any stories from your time serving in the community that really stand out to you?
I think I made a difference in the lives of when we formed the NAACP and then outside of Pittsburgh, we started with 200 people. Our dinner went to about 800 to 1,000. We gave $10,000 scholarships with their black and white students who were going away to college. And I think of some of my students that I work with, they have great jobs. A young lady, she's a vice president of a bank. I have students that are professors. And I had a couple bad episodes where somebody threatened to kill me because of my work in civil rights. But I embrace, I met a lot of wonderful people in my experience, white and black. And let me say this to you, coming here this week, I was treated like a celebrity. I didn't expect that like that. I met with the president, and just, it was an incredible visit. And so I take that on as a community endeavor. And I met the basketball team, and like I said, when I was here, I was only African American. Now the basketball team, 90% black. No, but I had some. I was selected as one of in the 80s as an African American who was selected as one of outstanding leaders in the city of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. So. And I received some awards as, from a women's group as an outstanding leader. And when I was an adjunct professor at Duquesne University, the students selected me voted me as professor of the year. I didn't win, but the students nominated me. Dr. Lamar Lee nominated me also for principal of the year. So that's a pretty good accolade.
And then I know you're not too well versed with the University of Idaho just because you haven't been here in so long, but being a black educator, what are some of the, I guess, what are some of the main issues you've seen throughout the years of?
Well, not enough. People understand the history of African Americans. You know, a lot of times, especially black boys and black men. You know, some of the violence that has happened from police and also in the African American community where we don't get an understanding. Sometimes we're signaled out by the police, not all policemen, and the professors. Sometimes people don't understand the culture, what our culture is about. There's a different culture. We do things different. Maybe where we dance, maybe we eat. I know the European American culture, because it was presented to me, but a lot of whites don't know the African American culture. They don't know the, like Garrett Morgan had been at the stoplight. And there's so many other things that people, like right now, they're trying to keep from teaching slavery out of the schools, because they say it's detrimental to white students. But do you just think it's detrimental with how many, I tell you, there's a time in America, for I think the 1950s and 1960s, there were over 400 black, majority black, and some whites, who were lynched. But those crimes have never been solved. And think about my parents couldn't get educated because they were color of their skin. And so I don't have no bitterness, but there's a sadness that comes over me. What if we had the same opportunities, say, as your parents or somebody else's parents, and people said, you know, pull you up by your bootstrap. We had no boots to pull our straps up by. So it really, you know, takes European Americans to understand the struggle. And just think about this. All your life, you've been told you're inferior, you're not able to learn, and you know, and that has stuck with a lot of people. I felt that way. I was afraid to talk in front of white people because I thought they would consider me dumb. And so, psychologically, there's a lot of things that you have to deal with, and you got to be strong, white or black, to make it in society today.
And I guess
Morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Those are crazy slippers.
Thank you. Are you guys headed to the game?
Go Cougs.
Oh, okay. I went to Riverside. I played basketball in Riverside. And we used to play WSU from Pittsburgh. I graduated in 1967.
When did we graduate?
73.
Now, where are you from?
Colorado.
Well, where?
Springs.
I remember we played Fort Collins. Okay. We played Colorado State and Fort Collins.
Yeah.
University of Colorado in Boulder. Oh. And we played Denver. That was in 1965.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, two of our kids went to Colorado State. So.
Okay. Well, that's right. They play in WSU.
Yeah, we're going to sit in the CSU section. Our money went there.
Okay.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'2 and a half. Well, as you get older, I'm 6'2 now.
Yeah.
But I was telling him I'm doing an interview. When I was when I was at the University of Idaho, it was only 10 African Americans on campus.
Oh, my
10,000 students, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's something.
You had 10,065?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
We had 13.
Because WSU only had 13,000.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was 10,000.
Yeah. We had 13,073 when we graduated. So I thought you were about half the size.
No.
Oh, sorry.
Good luck. Nice talking to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Well,
sports. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Is this the other team?
Oh.
Look at. Well, not your other team. This time.
And then, is there anything else you think that we need to add to this interview?
Well, you know, I'm hoping that the University of Idaho, they have a couple black organizations that they continue to support, the Black Cultural Center, and Dr. Freeman, the reason I'm here, he's a phenomenal individual, and I hope that they continue to diversify this university and look for all the things that happened in the past. How can we become better in what we do in helping individuals to grow and become better? And sometimes people say, oh, we don't need diversity, but diversity has really benefited white women. You know, I think all the deans here are of European descent, and there's still a stigma in reference to bringing African-American men and women into university. So I'm hoping in the near future that they're making some progress. I think with Dr. Green here, they're going to consider to do some wonderful things. And I told him anything I could do to help them out. How was that?
Good. Yeah, thank you. Let me just, that's right.